very good. We're going to open with prayer, and we're going to enjoy our time together tonight. Amen. Good to see everybody.
Thank you.
Nice to see you. Yeah. Okay, let's pray. All right. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, once again, that that we belong to you. That, Lord, we're not just cut loose in this life to drift off on our own. Lord, we have a purpose. We have a plan. We belong to you. We thank you, Lord, for including us in the wonderful plan that you have, Lord, of salvation, Lord. Wonderful plan of covering this world with the knowledge of your glory as the waters cover the sea. Father, we just thank you that we belong, that we are the people of God. And tonight, Lord, as we come together, your word says, as we do that in your name, that you are with us. So we recognize the manifest presence of the living God. We recognize you, Holy Spirit, as being here, that we are not just cut adrift again on our own, but Lord, we are those that are led by the Spirit of God. And as your word says, those who are led by the Spirit of God, those are the true children of God. So we thank you for birthing us forth in the heart, in your heart, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the new birth that you put in our lives, that, Lord, we are born again of the seed from above, not of the will of man, but of the very will of Almighty God who created all. So tonight, Lord, we're just thankful for you. We're thankful that we're yours. And we ask that you just bless us and quicken us, Lord, and just lead us in the way of everlasting tonight. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. God is so good. I'm so blessed to be here. And it's a good night to gather together with the people of God and in the presence of God. And it's really exciting when you think of it. And again, I think I talked to you about before I got an invitation to go have a meal with, at that time was President Bush. Remember, did I tell you about that?
Yeah.
You know, but we have an invitation to come and be in the presence of Almighty God. And I keep asking the Lord to help me, remind me that that's exactly what it is. That is, you know, as much as it may seem to be important or to be a big deal to be invited to have dinner with the president. That's before I found out it was $5,000 a plate. But,
yeah.
But, you know, as much of a big deal that is, right, how much bigger of a deal for the creator of the universe that says, come, let us reason together. Come, let's just spend some time together. You know? Amen. He paid the price. That's right. Right? They wanted me to pay $5,000. He paid beyond what we could ever imagine. Right? We couldn't even compare, we couldn't even put into numbers what he paid for our ability to be invited into his presence. Amen? So let's worship him tonight. Dave, you ready? All right.
Ear to heaven and hear the noise inside. Sound of angels, the sound of angels' songs, and all this for our King. We could join and sing, all to Christ the King. Our constant heart divine, this song of ours will rise. Constant and divine, this love of ours will rise, will rise. Heaven and rain. sweet. This love so rescuing. Oh, how infinitely sweet. This great love that has redeemed as one.
Oh,
If you knew how much I like popcorn.
I love popcorn.
Popcorn is my favorite snack. It's got to have lots of butter.
I can't have the butter, so I put cayenne pepper on it.
Oh, my. No, I load it with butter. Huh?
Popcorn,
yeah. Popcorn is a heavenly snack. Someone told me that Coca-Cola was the official soft drink of heaven. That was a pastor down in Mexico. I said, I'm not sure with all that crystal clear water, you know, and the talk of the water of the word, you know, I'm not sure we're going to be drinking Pepsi in heaven, but you hope not. Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can sing "Holy is the Lord." That Lord, that statement, Lord, that song can never grow old because, Lord, you remain holy forever and ever and ever. Lord, you are complete. You are worthy. You are holy, Lord, and nothing changes that. I thank you, Lord, that all the sin of the world didn't change your holiness. Lord, none of it, Lord, affected you and made you unclean so that the sacrifice was not worthy. Lord, your holiness, Lord, outweighed the sin, Lord, in every way. And I thank you, Lord, for you that knew no sin became sin, that we might become righteous. This morning, I thank people alongside your love. Thank you that held holiness for it. If you would turn there with me. I'm just going to start reading verse 14, okay? It says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. He's praying that he would grant us, according to his riches of glory, that we would be strengthened with might. And that word there for might means, it means a supernatural power. It's not just, it means the dunamis power of God. It doesn't mean just, you know, you're going to be strengthened, you're going to have strength to go through things. He's saying, I'm praying that in the richness of God's glory and all that he has, that he would grant to us the strength, that we would be strengthened with a supernatural dunamis power through his Spirit in our inner man. And I thank God for this verse, because to understand that the most powerful act of God happens inside you. We're always looking for the most powerful act of God to happen out there. Do this, do that. But the most powerful act of God happens inside of us. And he's saying, I just pray that your eyes can be opened, that you would be enlightened, that you would see and understand that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. You see, the riches of his glory that he wants to grant us is not just temporal things. It's something that he wants to do and build inside of us, that we become. It becomes an eternal value that sticks with us forever. And he says that through the working of a supernatural God, with his Holy Spirit being released inside of us, that we would be strengthened supernaturally from the inside. That there'll be a supernatural strength. There'd be a strength that comes from within that is not something that is directed by man. It's not something that you gain by just a simple type of a thought, but it is something that God has put in you. That the riches of his glory. See, that the richness of God is something that goes beyond our ability to comprehend. It's something that goes beyond our ability to take it and apply it ourselves. The richness of God and what God wants for your life has to be applied by the Holy Spirit. You can't apply it. There's not enough directions on the face of the planet to be able to instruct us in a way that we will know how to move and act and how to be in the character of Christ by our own facilities and by our own thinking. It takes the application of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, was going to come and take what is mine and make it known to you, make it your experience. So the Holy Spirit, and this is what the Apostle Paul is saying to the Ephesians, I pray that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Remember what he said, that the glory of God is Christ in him, the hope of glory. He says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might, dunamis, supernatural power, through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. That as the work of the Spirit is happening in our inner man, and as Christ begins to be released in our hearts through faith, now, what does that look like? Christ released in my heart through faith. You know, when I apply faith, when I make decisions and I move in directions in my life based upon my relationship with Christ, even though I don't see what's happening, even though I don't understand the connections of things, I'm just going in blind obedience to the Lord. You know, even though I don't feel like it, I'm just moving forward. I'm putting my faith to action, because the application, when it says here that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that word faith is not a passive word. It's a verb. In other words, Christ is going to dwell through us, through our being motivated to step out in the ways of God as the Spirit of God impresses them upon us. In other words, I am being changed. I am being transformed. I am getting to know, because remember our verse about getting to know him, right? To grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am getting to know him because the Holy Spirit is coming and applying his life to me in such a way that now all of a sudden his life is now available for me to by faith to walk in. And when I do that, I begin to be transformed and changed, and I get to know him like I never knew him before. It's an amazing work that God's doing in us. And it's not really as much of a mystery when you understand that it's just the work of the Holy Spirit. I mean, the whole God, supernatural God that created everything. I mean, he spoke, and everything that is seen came into existence. Hebrews says that everything that we see was created out of what is unseen. I mean, his very word. And so now this same God comes and says, okay, you know, I'm going to begin a good work, and I'm going to be faithful to complete it, and I'm going to do this work now in you, right? In all of us. And he begins this work, and he begins to come into our hearts, and he begins to shed abroad the love of God. He begins to open us up and show us things that have to do with the strength of God and the might of God in our inner man. And he strengthens us from the inside out. And then he says that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints. You see? He says, I want the Spirit of God to do a great work in you. I want the Spirit of God to come, and I want him to strengthen you by his supernatural power, by his Spirit on your inner man. And I want Christ to dwell in you by faith so that as you're rooted and grounded in this love, you're going to now be able to comprehend. You're going to be able now to grab a hold of, with all the saints, what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So, these two things. The Holy Spirit is the one administering it into our inner beings. And he's saying that in itself brings a supernatural ability and power that isn't there. It's Christ that works in you. It's the Spirit of God that's working in us. It's not something that we're trying to process and convince ourselves and just trying to achieve and attain, you know, step by step in some type of class. We're looking for the intervention of Almighty God to touch our lives and to change our lives, right? And yeah, we need to study to show ourselves approved. We need to study the Word so that we recognize the work of God in our lives. You know, remember when the Pharisees came and Jesus said, you know, you search the Scripture, for in them you know that there's eternal life, but yet these all tell of me, but yet you refuse to come to me for the life. You see, what the Scripture is, a way for us to identify him. And once we identify him, you know, let him be who he is in our lives. That's the way he transforms us. And if all we're doing is taking the word and applying it so that we have knowledge so that we can try to do it ourselves, then we're missing out on the greatest opportunity to know the living God. As Jesus said, you're going to know him because he'll be in you and you will be in him. And the work that he's doing in you is a work to get you to the place that you recognize him, that you understand him, that you now comprehend. And Paul says that you might comprehend the width, the length, the depth, this great love of God that has been poured out on us. Because to understand the love of God is one of the greatest things, because when you know the fullness of the love of God, then your life is fulfilled, then you find your purpose, then you know you have hope, then you have peace, you have rest. Perfect love casts out what? All fear, right? And as it says in 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails. And so the Lord is trying to get us to understand his complete, perfect love, because that's how we are rooted and grounded. The Bible says that we're rooted and grounded in love. And if we're rooted and grounded in love, that's where our growth comes from. He says in verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, be above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for your work that you're doing in all of our lives. We thank you, Lord, that it's a supernatural work. It's a work, Lord, that goes beyond our comprehension. Lord, it's a work that goes deep into our inner being that is administrated by you directly. And, Lord, I thank you for doing that right now. Father, I pray as we're here tonight in your presence, Lord, that your work would be breathed upon, that there be a freshness, Lord. I pray, God, that we would be in agreement with your work in our lives, that you'd help us to quickly agree, Lord, in those areas that your work begins to move things around and change things and gets things out and brings new things, Lord. As you begin working in our life, I pray, God, that we would be willing participants, that we would be quick, Lord, to open the door of opportunity as you're working in our lives and changing us, Lord. We thank you, God, that your work, Lord, is good. That, Lord, that you desire, Lord, nothing but good things in our lives. And you desire, Lord, to free us from things that would bondage us, Lord. That you desire us to be free and desire us, Lord, to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. So tonight, I just thank you for your work in our hearts. Lord, do a deep work in every one of us, Lord. Right now, just do a deep work, Lord. I pray, God, I pray right now for just a refreshing of your love, a refreshing, Lord, of just be able to comprehend, Lord, just how much you do love us. And, Lord, the more that we comprehend how much you love us, the more we trust your work in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to each and every one of us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you don't just cast us aside when we fail. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you don't keep a whole list of all the things we did wrong. Lord, that you have to face us with that in the morning. But, Lord, you don't keep any such list. Lord, I thank you that you don't keep an account of our wrong. I thank you that you, Lord, so quickly forgive and you forget all of that. I thank you, Lord God, that your love, Lord, is perfect. There's not a shadow or a turning. You don't, Lord, one day turn cold to us. You don't reject us. You don't push us off. But, Lord, you just continue to love and to draw us to you with the cords of love. Lord, I pray in this place of your presence, Lord, as we gathered in your name and you are here, Lord, that you would strengthen us in our inner beings. I pray, Lord, for that strength that comes from the Holy Spirit, Lord, that works in us, that makes us established in the love of God, that allows us to understand and comprehend the vastness of your love. Lord, expand our hearts today. Expand our understanding, our comprehension, Lord, of where we stand in you today. Let there be an expansion in our lives, Lord, beyond our own ability to do. Lord, we're asking for, Lord, a working, a mighty work of the awesome Spirit of the living God, Lord, to transform us from the inside out. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, we give you glory, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Thank you, God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Remember the story where Thomas he wasn't there when Jesus rose from the dead, and he went and he showed his scars and everything to the other apostles, and they told Thomas all about it. But Thomas says, you know what? I'm not going to believe unless I see it myself, unless I can put my finger in the holes of his hands, and unless I can see it. And so I'm blessed by that, because Jesus didn't say, well, okay, stubborn Thomas, forget you. He took special care to personally visit Thomas. You see, we look at Thomas saying, well, doubting Thomas, you know. But he got a personal visit when the other ones met him as a group. He took the time. Jesus did. Jesus takes the time to let you comprehend how much he loves you. He takes the time. He wants to take time with you so that you can comprehend just how much he does love you. And as he went to Thomas and he said, okay, Thomas. And Thomas believed. And then the statement that Jesus had said, Thomas, you believe and that's good. He said, but blessed are those who have not seen what you see and still believe. See, there's those times where the Lord will, when we're struggling, he will personally, he will make that time of visitation so that we can comprehend him and understand his love. But he also says that there's a blessing to those, there's a real blessing to those, that even though they don't have that special, you know, manifestation or visitation, they still believe. Amen? And that is a measure of growth. But thank God that he takes the time to come to us. Because we all have those times of weakness. We all have those times because we still have this flesh. You know, we have times we're on top of it. We're hallelujahing all the way. We're faith, you know, we're just on top of things. And then there's times that we're not there. But thank God that he's faithful even when we are not faithful. That he's strong even when we are weak, right? That Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And thank God that he does not say, well, okay, you know, since you're going to be so hard-headed about it, there are times for our own good that he wants us to learn a lesson, right? But the heart of the Lord is that it's his will that none would perish. And tonight, as I was saying that, as I was just finishing reading and the Lord reminded me of Thomas, I believe tonight there's somebody here, maybe more than one person, that the Lord's saying, I'm taking the time right now to just let you know how much I really love you and I really care for you. And I want you to take that time tonight to receive my love in a way that fills you. It says that so that we might be, that to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. To know that love that passes knowledge so that we can be filled with all of the fullness of God. So in other words, it's not just a way in which you can try to comprehend in your own thought. The Lord has a way of impressing his love upon us that goes beyond our ability to comprehend it and put it all together. And he does it through a deep work of the Holy Spirit within us. And he wants us, just as he came to Thomas and said, Thomas, I am personally taking time out. You know, you think of it, how valuable is that time? You know, how long was Jesus here? You know, was it 40? It was 40 days, right, after he rose from the dead? He was on the earth for 40 days. Is that right, Robert, Bible scholar? Okay. I think it was 40 days. It was 40 days. So he's here for 40 days, right? And of all the different people he had to go see, all the things he had to do, He said what he was really doing is he was teaching them things pertaining to the kingdom, is what it says in the book of Acts. And so he had a lot to do. He went, you know, he rose from the dead. He went up to heaven. He put the blood on the mercy seat. He showed the Father that it is finished. And then he came back here, and he walked, and different people saw him. But he only had limited time. So how precious was that time that he actually went and spent particular special time, because Thomas wasn't there. And Thomas was having a hard time believing. You know, I believe the Lord impacts our lives all the time. But a lot of times we're just not there to catch it. Our mind is somewhere else. You know, just this evening, right before we came here, Peter was there and Tammy was there, and we were all talking about who was driving what vehicle and going where and whatever. I was in the middle of something else. And so I got up after all of that and walked out and grabbed the keys to the car and realized, well, why did Peter take the car? And Tammy goes, well, you were in the middle of the conversation. You know, you were right there, you know. I said, well, you know, forgive me, I really wasn't. And I didn't have a problem with him taking the car. I was surprised. I didn't know I was planning on driving and whatever. So we can be right there, but not there. And I believe the visitation of God, he comes to just show you how much he loves you. He comes to just impress upon you, you know what? You don't have to worry about these issues, guys. I got them under control, right? I have conquered. You're going to have tribulations in the world, but fear not, I've overcome the world. So let's relax here. You know, you can be at peace. I've got everything covered. And he comes to bring that message of peace to us. But yet, oftentimes, we're just not there when he comes, just like Thomas. And then we take on the attitude, well, you know what, I'll believe it when I see it. You know, and so we begin trying to walk by sight and not by faith. But thank God that he always takes the time to come and personally say, you know what, you might not have caught this, but I want you to know, I really have things in control. I really love you. I really have a plan for you. I really have a future and a hope for you. I will work things out. And he begins to minister to you personally. And he comes, even if he was already there and you didn't get the message, he comes again. But it is a blessing for us to be able to believe, even though we don't see it. It is a blessing to us to be watching and waiting for when he comes. Remember we read in Luke a couple weeks ago about when the master comes back, that you open the door quickly because he'll come right in and he'll begin to serve you. If you open it up quickly like that, you know. Yeah, that's a blessing. But thank God. Because I think there's times, hey, he came, I recognized him immediately. Boom, it was awesome. But there are also times, you know, where he came and I just wasn't there. But thank God he doesn't go away disgruntled. Thank God he's long-suffering. Thank God that he continues, you know, to come. In whichever way he has to, on a personal level, to get you to understand, I've got things under control. You don't have to worry. You can be at peace. I'm God, and I'm working in you. And I will complete the work that I work in you. And I'm not working in you according to just man's ability. The work that's going on in you is a supernatural power of the Holy Ghost that works in you. That you have something in you that goes beyond the will and the purposes of man. It goes beyond the strength of man. That you're going to be strengthened in your inner being by the might of God delivered by the Holy Spirit. That's what we just read in Ephesians chapter 3. What an awesome thing that we can go beyond the norm. You might read a situation and say, okay, in this situation, this is how I'm going to act, and this is what's going to happen. But wait a minute. The situation totally changes because now something that has far exceeded and totally overcome every circumstance and every situation of this world, the very nature and the character of Christ is being shed abroad in your heart. And now, you know, that new creation that you are, you don't act the same way anymore. You can have peace in the middle of whatever the disturbance is in your life. You can just flow right through it. You can just have the mind of Christ. You can be making decisions. You can be walking in a place of peace. You can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You can let the joy of the Lord rise up in you as a strength, even in the midst of whatever it might be, because you're the people of God, because you're the ones that God loves to be with. And he loves to be with you so much that he paid the most ultimate price. We were talking before about you could pay $5,000 and go have a dinner with the president. But here, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords paid far more than that for you to freely come to him. He says, freely come. Anybody that's thirsty or hungry, come to me. Come to me, all that are burdened and heavy, and I will give you rest. And the price has been paid. It wasn't free. No, it wasn't free. But it's been paid for you. And that makes it even more valuable. Amen? Amen. So the Lord tonight wants to really impress upon us that he's at work, and that it's okay. And he's coming personally to make sure that each and every one of us know that. Let's just bow our heads for a little bit. Let's just be quiet before God for a little bit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for just what you're doing in each one of our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for moving in the way that you do. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to comprehend, to grab a hold of, to experience, Lord, the love that you have for us. We thank you tonight for the love that, Lord, casts out all fear. We thank you for the love that doesn't condemn, but empowers. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God that, once again, doesn't keep account of our wrongs, but you continually, Lord, stand in the gap for us and continue to offer us, Lord, the strong foundation, the firm foundation, Lord, of trusting you and having faith in you. I thank you, Lord, that when we miss the times of you drawing close to us, that you don't just walk away, but you continue, Lord, to knock on the door. And you said that if you knock and we open it, that you come in and you sup with us and you spend time with us. So, Lord, I pray that you'd knock on each and every one of our hearts right now. I pray that we'd hear. I pray that we'd open in a special way. We just honor you. We honor your presence. We honor your work in our hearts and our lives. And we just love you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for drawing us close to you and allowing us to know you the way that we can. We praise you and we thank you and we give you glory, God. Just work in the hearts, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for anyone that would have walked in here today feeling apart or feeling far from you or feeling like they might have missed you. I thank you, Lord, that you take the time to personally come and knock on our hearts and let us know that we have not missed the opportunity, that you come again to offer us that communion in that place of walking with you in life. I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your presence. I thank you for drawing us to you. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord.
I can sing.
all is at rest. I am my Savior, am happy and blessed. So blessed, watching and waiting, looking up. Lost in His love.
Let's sing it together. We say,
this is my story.
Thank you, God, that we can have this song within us, that we can worship you and praise you, Lord, all the day long. We worship you, God. Just before the next song goes on, I just want to read this portion of scripture to you. I just felt the Lord told me to look it up. It said, this is out of Luke chapter 7, verse 36. It says, one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair and of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who's touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to pay, he freely forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair, the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." That day when this woman walked in, she was surrounded by a whole bunch of learned people that knew a whole lot more about the scripture than she did. But she discerned that Jesus was in her midst. And since she discerned it to that extent, she was willing to give everything she had. And so her acceptance wasn't based upon her past actions. Her acceptance was based upon her acknowledgement and her abandonment to the wonderful living Jesus that was standing before her. And that's the same thing that goes on in our lives. You know, it's not a matter of do we have everything together and what we've attained and what we have built on our own. It's will we acknowledge and honor the living God that's in our midst. And when we do, and when we allow the fragrant oil of our lives to be poured out on him, then the acceptance and the power of that forgiveness changes our lives beyond measure. So acknowledge him in our lives. Amen? Do you have a song, Dave? All right. It's amazing how they dovetail. We don't work this out. You know, I could sing of your love forever. I was like, that's amazing that it came in right at that time. But let's just praise God some more. Amen?
Yes, Lord. Blessing and honor.
Blessing. Riches and wisdom and strength.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you can find Jesus Messiah. Thank you, Lord. He's on channel 9. Hallelujah.
All about Christ?
Yeah.
Oh, AAC. All about Christ.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. What a wonderful story when it said there was a certain woman who was a sinner, but she heard that Jesus was in the house. So she just took all she had and came. What a beautiful story. Amen? So let's just sing about our Messiah now. Jesus Messiah. Name above all names, is that the one? Jesus Messiah. He became sin, who knew no sin. Hallelujah, Lord. Messiah.
He became sin, who knew no sin. That we might become His righteousness. He humbled Himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing.
Amen. Jesus Messiah. Amen. All for love. He did it all. Isn't he? Awesome song. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for this wonderful time to just reminisce of your word and talk of how wonderful you are and how great your love is and sing about it all together, Lord. God, we just thank you for this wonderful opportunity. Lord, we love you tonight, Lord, and I just pray, God, as we prepare to leave from this place, Lord, I pray that, Lord, that each individual here, Lord, would be full with the fullness that you have for them. Lord, I just ask right now that you touch each and every individual in this place. Father, I thank you that you have been touching us. Lord, I thank you, Lord, let nothing go unturned. Let nothing be missed out on. Lord, may we grab a hold of that which you have for us tonight. And may we leave this place, Lord, being filled and being fed by your hand tonight. Father, fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost. Fill us with your Spirit from head to toe. Let us be living, walking, moving beings that God, that are just living in response to you. Thank you, Lord, for such a wonderful, awesome life that you've given each and every one of us, Lord, to be living as children of God, Lord, as objects of your love, as the beloved of Almighty God. So we thank you for that tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd give us the strength, Lord, as we talked about your Spirit, according to the might that works within us by the Holy Spirit, that, Lord, that we'd have the strength, Lord, to stand, the strength to be the people of God, the strength, Lord, to be able to make the decisions, Lord, that put us in an engagement with your purposes for our lives. Father, let us be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Lord, let the unction of the Holy Ghost rise up within us, Lord, that we will not shrink back, that we'll not put our hands to the plow, Lord, and shrink back, Lord, and turn back. But, Lord, we have counted the cost. We know, Lord, what it takes, and that we're willing to give everything to you because, Lord, we know if we're willing to lose our life for your sake, that's when we really find it. So, Father, we thank you today that you are working in us and that you are able to keep us from falling, that your mighty power in us will enable us, Lord, to walk in the way that you've called us to walk. We thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for all of the divine appointments, Lord, that you have set up, people that need to hear about the awesome love of the Lord Jesus that are in our pathway. Lord, I thank you for the opportunities, oh God, to speak for you. What an awesome thing. We get to speak for the living God. We get to speak forth the very word of God that is implanted in us. Lord, we thank you for that. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we love you, Lord. We bless your name. And in your name, we've come, and in your name, we go. And we do all things for you who gives us strength. Amen.